Gather your family, get the gravy. That's not cranberry sauce, Ben. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this special episode of Beware the Board, a horror podcast where we watch a randomly selected horror movie every single week. Except, we're not doing that, Ben. It's Thanksgiving.
Ooh. Or I guess more of a gobble gobble.
Well, not after last year.
Gobble gobble, bitch. Nice tits, bitch.
That movie's so fucking bad.
Thanksgiving? Yeah, it's not great.
Oh, God. For those of you that don't know what we do for Thanksgiving every year, we watch a Thanksgiving-themed horror movie.
Yeah, as we do for most holidays here. Or at least the big ones.
Yeah.
Whatever we can find movies for. Last year we did Thanksgiving.
Which sucks.
And the year before that we did Blood Rage, which is
a better movie.
Objectively still a bad movie, but it's very funny.
And it is
to this day, we quote Blood Rage.
Which is crazy.
Bob just did it.
I just did it. It was in the intro.
Also, we always tend to make Blood Rage jokes whenever something weird about your mom comes up.
Well, not your mom, audience member.
But moms in general. Yeah. That movie has an Oedipus complex.
Yes. Yes, it does.
In either case, you excited for Thanksgiving this year?
I don't want to say I'm excited, because we've only watched bad movies. So I'm a little scared for what you're going to put me through this year, Ben. Ben.
I got something in my back pocket.
What are we watching today?
Well, there's this little movie called Thanksgiving 3.
No, Ben.
Which is
the direct sequel
to Thanksgiving.
We're not going to watch Thanksgiving 3.
Now, unfortunately, we're not going to be watching that today.
Thank God.
For two reasons. A, I've said in the past, I don't like to put sequels on the board for like holiday stuff, because then I feel like you gotta go watch the first one. But also, Thanksgiving 3 is known as being
bad,
atrocious,
like worse than the first,
like
one.
Compared to the first movie, it's bad, because people like the first movie for like so bad it's good content.
That's fair.
But the third one does not fit in that ranking. Point being, I chose something else this year. In fact, I decided to keep a promise I think I made last year. I don't know if you remember. Apparently you don't. We are going to be watching Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, the Eli Roth film?
The Eli Roth film.
Oh, man. Hell yeah.
I think last year it came out
like right before.
Right after we recorded the episode. So we couldn't do it then, especially because like it wasn't out on DVD or anything or streaming. So I was like, well, we'll do it next year.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So that's what we're going to do.
At least now I know that it will be an okay movie at the minimum.
Yeah.
If not good.
And I think I talked about this film because I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
I think I give like a quick like first impression. From what I remember about the movie, I'll just bring it up here so we can see if like it's the same for you or if I stick with it. But I think I remember it being fun and like a bit graphic and like an Eli Roth way.
So, funny story. My girlfriend has seen this movie.
Ah.
And she said it was horrific.
But
for her.
I think the thing I remember about it, it was like one of those films where I would have appreciated it if it went farther, because it's an Eli Roth film, and I expect, like, a lot from him, and it just was disappointing in that sense.
That's fair.
But I think it's a lot more approachable for a general audience than a lot of his stuff is, and also just a fun time.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, we've only seen one Eli Roth film on the podcast.
Yeah, we just saw Cabin Fever, which was really early on in his career.
But that film is a movie I would never show my girlfriend because she could not handle it.
I mean, that's probably closer in tone because that is also a horror comedy.
Yeah.
Like this one. Unlike, what, Green Inferno and Hostel, which are just straight up horrifying.
Yeah, we need to get there eventually.
Eventually. But I'll just get into the movie since I think we have a general knowledge of it. Description: there's no better place to celebrate Thanksgiving than where it all began.
Okay.
Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
That's where the movie's set.
That makes sense.
For length, it's an hour and 46 minutes long.
Oh, a little long.
A little bit. It's rated R.
Thank God.
For scores, IMDb gave it a 6.2 out of 10.
Nice.
The tomato meter score gave it an 84%.
That's pretty good.
An audience score of 79%.
I wanted to start clapping, but I didn't. But, like, hell yeah.
Like I said, I think this is, like, one of his films that is really approachable for a general audience. Actually, I've seen a lot of stuff pop up this year around the holidays that it's been, like, the most searched movie
really
on Google and stuff, because like everyone's wanting to watch it for Thanksgiving, and then it's streaming on Netflix now, so
that's a wide audience.
Yeah, big audience. And it's fun. For awards, it has one win in 12 nominations, which is pretty decent for an Eli Roth film. Damn
good.
For notable actors, I don't think any of these people are really big except for like one or two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a lot. We have Patrick Dempsey, who is one of the big ones.
Well, didn't he win Sexiest Man Alive? Didn't we have this conversation last time we talked about this movie?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you won Sexiest Man Alive.
Because you would know.
A couple years ago, right?
But he plays Sheriff Eric Newland, but he was Dr. Derek Shepherd from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Who I think they refer to as McDreamy, right?
I think that is correct.
But he was on 247 episodes between 2005 and 2021.
He was the Sexiest Man Alive last year. This year it went to John Krasinski?
Really?
Sure. I think so, yeah.
All right. Nell Verlacu as Jessica Wright. She played Haley and Notice to Quit. Addison Rae as Gabby. She was Paget Sawyer and He's All That. Bob's showing me Sexiest Man Alive photos right now.
Yeah, John Krasinski did win.
Jalen Thomas Brooks as Bobby DeStacy. I don't know why I said that weird. Bobby DeStacy. He was Colton Davidson from Walker. He was on 30 episodes between 2021 and 2023. Milo Mannheim as Ryan. If you know him, Bob, I don't know if you will. He was Zed in the Zombies franchise.
Zombies?
I believe it's like a Disney Channel franchise kind of thing.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I don't know. Came out, I think, after my time.
Not me too. Disney then probably Channel. Me too, because we're around the same period.
Yeah, but you have a younger sister, so I
do have. You also have a younger sister.
Yeah, I do. Why? That's why I brought it up. I was like, maybe she watched it and you saw some of it. That was the point I was making. And also, your youngest sister is younger than my sister.
That's true. Yeah.
Tommaso Cinelli as Evan Fletcher. He was young Dick Grayson from Titans. He was on 6 episodes in 2018.
I heard that show was pretty good.
The CW Titans?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I never watched it. I wasn't really interested. There's been so many of those, like, CW shows at this point, and they're kind of old hat.
Well, some of them I've heard are really good, and some of them I heard are really bad.
Yep,
and it's sort of hit or miss.
That's kind of what I've heard, and I've heard it's like that for seasons and episodes too.
Oh, that blows!
Like Arrow's really good in some seasons, and then iffy.
I've heard the Flash show gets really out of hand.
Same thing with the Flash show, because you know TV shows, superhero stuff. But I was never interested in Titans, because for me, Teen Titans, like the animated TV show from the early 2000s, is peak and will always be my Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Because I grew up on it, so I just wasn't interested.
Fair.
That show's great. If you've never seen
that show is so good.
Highly recommend. Next is Gabriel Davenport as Claude Scuba Diving.
His name is not Scuba Diving.
Well, Scuba's his nickname. His last name is Diving. So they named him
Claude Scuba, I assume in quotations, Diving. Yeah. That's insane.
But it makes sense. Like, if your name's Claude Dibing,
they just call you Scuba.
Kids are going to call you Scuba.
Oh, my God.
He was Victor in Hotel for the Holidays. Jenna Warren as Yulia. I thought this was interesting. She apparently is a voice actor.
Oh, okay.
And she does Sunny Star Scout from My Little Pony.
Oh.
Like, the franchise.
I've never watched My Little Pony, but cool.
I haven't either. But it seems like it's kind of a standing gig for her.
Hmm.
Like, just looking through it. At least recently, I don't know how long she's had the role. She's on the younger side. But she's done, like, multiple performances for that. So that's always good to see for actors when they get, like, consistent work. Ty Victor Olson as Mitch Collins. Now, he's one of those actors where there's no, like, one role I can point at him for being, like, super famous in.
Mm-hmm.
At least that I know really well. But he's in a lot of, like, little things that I'm very familiar with. So he was one of those faces when I originally watched this movie, I was like, I know you from somewhere, and I have no fucking clue where it is. He's in a lot of stuff. He's in, like, I think he's in, like, one episode of Psych. He's in a lot of, like, one little bits of stuff. But for stuff that's relevant to this podcast, I wrote down a few. Well, we haven't watched it yet. He is Nathan in Aliens vs. Predator Requiem.
Oh, how far down the line is that?
I believe that's AVP 2, the last AVP film. So we'd have to watch the rest of Aliens.
All of Predator.
And then we could do AVP.
Then we could do AVP.
But for things we've actually watched on the podcast, he was an army truck driver in Dreamcatcher.
Okay.
So, you know, bad movie adaptation.
Good book.
And then also a jock in Valentine.
Oh.
You know, the movie with the guy who plays Angel?
Yeah.
What's his name?
David.
Borealis?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Something like that.
That's always good. I like
that's a good Valentine's movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest, all the Valentine's films we've covered so far
have been good.
Solid.
Yeah.
So yeah, and a bunch of stuff. You'll see. You'll go, who is that guy? Next, we have Tim Dillon as Manny. He was in Arkham Guard and Joker Folie à Deux.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I've heard it's bad.
Really bad. Yeah, I've heard it's like actually awful.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because like, I heard the first one was pretty good.
It was fine. I think it was one of those films where like the culture at the time really latched onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it was a good movie, but a lot of the hype was just for stuff in it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because it was a Joker film and it was being memed, and then there was like some terrorist stuff going on around it. It was like a big sensational thing. From what I will say, I think they did something. I haven't seen the second one, but from what I know about it, they did some new stuff. Like, I've heard it's vaguely a musical.
Oh, I think it's more than vaguely a musical. I'm pretty sure it's fully a musical.
Yeah, which is, like, interesting.
Interesting because they got Lady Gaga.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Next, we have Russell Ewan as Detective Peter Chu. He was Commodore Typhoon from Star Trek Strange New Worlds. He was on one episode in 2023. Karen Kleisch as Kathleen Wright. She played Shelby in Saw 6.
Oh,
franchise we got to cover at some point.
I don't want to.
You can always put like torture porn on there.
I don't want to.
We can do Saw, nope. Hostel.
Oh, actually, I and do some other see thing.
I don't know what the third thing would be, but off the top of my head. But those are like,
those are the big ones.
The two big ones. Derek McGrath as Mayor Canton. He played Benjamin Jeffcoat from My Secret Identity. He was on 72 episodes from 1988 to 91. Joe Delphine as McCarty. He was the Squash Man in Polar.
Sorry, the Squash Man got
He's
me.
Man of squash.
He's made of squash. What the fuck?
I don't think he was. I have not seen that piece of media, so I have no fucking clue.
He could be.
He could. He could be a giant squash.
Yeah. I hope he's not, for his sake.
Or he could just get crushed.
True.
We have Jeff Teravainen as Deputy Brett LaBelle. He was John Anders from Dark Matter. Don't know if you've ever seen that.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's well-liked. He was on seven episodes between 2015 and 2017. Rick Hoffman as Thomas Wright. He was Lewis Litt from Suits on 134 episodes between 2011 and 2019.
I've heard Suits is really good.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, Gina Gershon as Amanda Collins. She was Quirky and Bound. And that's all the people I'm going to list right now, because that's a lot. And
that was a lot.
The cast list on this film is really long, so you can always check it out if there's someone you want to see. Director's Eli Roth, we've already talked about that. And I think I mentioned this the last time we watched a Roth film, which was Cabin Fever. But I'll mention it again, because I still think it's ludicrous, but he directed the Borderlands movie.
He did, and apparently that movie fucking sucks.
Yeah, I was not surprised by that.
No, me either.
It's a video game movie.
It's going to be bad.
That's what they're supposed to be. It's bad.
Well, unless it's the Super Mario Bros. Movie. Yeah, I heard that was good.
I think that's different because it's animated.
Yeah.
And I think video game movies are always going to work better as anime features.
Sure.
I mean, look at all the Pokemon movies. There's tons of video game stuff that's been animated that's been fine. Live action video game stuff?
Rough.
Always rough. We got two writers on this. We have Eli Roth is one of them. He also wrote The Green Inferno, which is our lovely Cannibal Holocaust reference right there. But Roth has a story credit. And then the other writer is Jeff Rendell. So from what I could tell, he hasn't really written a lot of other things. In fact, I think the only thing I really saw him write was the Thanksgiving short. So I don't know if we've talked about this before.
We have talked about
Pretty
this.
Pretty sure we have. This movie started out as a fake trailer in the film Grindhouse.
Which we haven't seen.
So we haven't seen that yet. We'll probably have to watch it at some point.
I don't want
to
watch it.
But it has like a bunch of like fake trailers in it. In the same way like Tropic Thunder does.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them have been made into movies. At this point, I believe three of them. This is the third one to be made into a feature-length film. Before that, we have Machete.
Yep, which got made.
By Robert Rodriguez. And then Jason Eisner's Hubble with a Shotgun. Kind of cool to see that happening.
It's really cool.
From my understanding, like Roth has been wanting to do this for a long time. Like basically since that original movie came out, he was mm-hmm. kind of thinking about this. So it's cool to see he finally got it.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
But yeah, like I said, Jeff Rendell helped work on that short. So he ended up doing the story and the screenplay for this movie.
That makes sense.
Budget, estimated at $15 million.
How, well, 50 or 15?
15.
15.
Which is decent. Not bad. But not a lot for, like, a big movie like this that was in theaters. Which I think might be part of my issue with how gory it was, because I wanted
more.
More. But that being said, it did have a decent turnout. Box office was 46.5.
That's not bad at all. That's like triple.
So, yeah. A little over triple.
Pretty solid.
Pretty solid. Country of origin, United States. Tagline. There will be no leftovers.
Okay. I get that I shit on these taglines a lot. That one is so fucking stupid, but I love it.
Oh, I love when they're stupid in the best way possible.
Like, that one is so stupid and on theme that it works.
Which, speaking of which, we'll probably do it after the movie and probably after we're done recording this episode. But we should go watch the Grindhouse trailer.
Oh, we totally should.
Because it's actually fairly close to the movie in a lot of ways. Like, okay. They tried to get things scene for scene.
That's cool, man.
But it's really cool to do the back-to-back after we've watched the film. That's how I did it when I went to see this movie in theaters. Because I was like, I don't really remember it from the Grindhouse movie.
Isn't Grindhouse Rob Zombie?
I think he worked on it. I don't know if he just did a segment or if he did the movie.
I'll look it up.
Because a bunch of people worked on that film. Like, a bunch.
Oh my god, there's so many crazy-ass actors in this fucking movie. What the fuck?
Yeah, Grindhouse is insane.
So many famous people. Holy shit. It's not giving me a...
Yeah, just leave it.
It's 3 hours and 11 minutes, bro?
There's a lot there.
Holy shit!
But, you know, last but not least, I thought this was a little cool thing because I didn't know about it.
Okay.
But apparently Roth announced a sequel was in development for this
film. Oh, wow.
Basically, it looked like right after this movie came out, he was like on his Instagram and he was like, yeah, I'm planning a sequel. Got greenlit and everything.
That's pretty fucking rad, dude.
But as of, I think fairly recently, he was like, yeah, I think it's planned for release in 2025.
Good for him.
So we'll see if that ends up happening. You never know.
Yeah, stuff could fall through.
Not surprising, though. It did no. good, and I think all the media hype recently has been a good indicator for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I got. We're going to go watch it now.
Okay, yeah. We'll see you guys in a minute. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We just finished watching Thanksgiving.
What do you think?
Well, I'm pretty thankful for Eli Roth.
Yeah.
I think that's how I feel after this one.
He usually does a good job. That's what I'll say.
You say usually, but I've not seen a bad movie yet.
Well, I say usually because I think you have to like Eli Roth.
Oh, for sure,
and if you're kind of on the fence with like how gory and mean-spirited he can be.
Oh, he's such a mean bitch.
like some of his films I think can really tip you over. Yeah. Like Hostel's pretty mean, so like if that goes a little too far for you. But yeah, in either case, it's a fun little slasher movie. I'm glad we watched it this year.
Me too. Kind of
fun. Very recent, too. We
don't normally get to watch recent.
This recent, so that's cool.
Stuff, so this was good, yeah.
With that being said, I guess we're going to do our usual thing. You know, I'm going to give a brief description, and then we're going to get into actually talking about the movie. As always, there's going to be spoilers going forward, especially in the actual movie discussion. So we recommend that you go watch the film before we spoil it, because that's the best way to do this. Especially because it's kind of like a whodunit slasher thing.
Yeah.
And having the killer spoiled sucks. Yeah. So highly recommend you go watch it first. I think I said this earlier. I believe it's on Netflix if you want to watch it there. I know most people have Netflix, so it's free right now if you're already paying for that. And it's not that long.
No. It's not bad.
We said an hour and 46.
Six, yeah.
I think it's only like an hour and 30 without credits. Mm-hmm. So
I didn't ask this and we didn't look. Was there a post-credit scene for this movie?
I don't know.
Okay.
If not, we can watch it after this.
Later, yeah.
Yeah. In either case, I guess we'll get into it. This movie is basically the most Thanksgiving thing they could make. It's set in Plymouth, Massachusetts, which is where the first Thanksgiving was
allegedly
done. Yeah. And kind of the whole joke here is that there's a mass killer going around killing people on Thanksgiving, or at least
around
the holiday. And he's dressed as John Carver. So besides being like a funny name for a slasher, I believe first mayor of
Plymouth or something like
Plymouth,
that.
New Plymouth colony. So yeah, that's it in the broad stakes kind of thing. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Very basic slasher premise, but definitely worth a watch for holiday films.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is by far the best Thanksgiving movie we've seen on the podcast.
Not a high bar.
Not a high bar, but it is so far above everything else we've watched.
No, yeah. Yeah, that's
like,
true.
This is astronomically better than everything else. Like, Blood Rage, I would say, is a bad movie.
It's so bad it's good.
It's so bad it's good, which is, like, pretty far down the spectrum. And the other two movies we watched were just bad.
The other two. The other movie.
Other movie we watched is bad. Like, just straight up bad. But this movie's good.
Yeah. Although I do want to keep calling Thanksgiving Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Great name.
Good name. Bad movie.
In either case, I'm going to get into it now because I want to start off with something I kind of skipped, but I love the cold open for this movie.
Oh, it is fucking incredible.
Honestly, once again, I'd highly recommend going into this movie blind.
For sure.
For the cold open alone, because the cold open is, I think, one of the most memorable parts of this movie.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking insane.
And I think it's just, it's great. It's like its own little self-contained short film, as like most cold opens do, if they're well done. Mm-hmm. But I really liked this one. I thought it was really cool and shocking, and I remember feeling that way in theaters. Like, holy shit.
I can't imagine watching that cold open in a movie theater. Like, going in totally blind. It must be fucking, like, euphoric, honestly. It's probably so cool.
Yeah, and I think a part of that is that it's a little unexpected, but it's also just very different from the tone of a slasher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something you're prepared to watch.
I mean, it's very Eli Roth.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it works, right?
With that being said, we've kind of pecked around it. But what it is it's essentially the day of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a Black Friday sale going on at this, seemingly the local, like, big box store. What's it, Rite Mart?
Yep.
And there is, like, a early 2000s size Black Friday crowd, like, freaking out outside of this store.
At, like, 6 p.m. on a Thursday, by the
way. Yeah. I mean, I think they're supposed to open at, like, 6 p.m. So they're opening in, like, 10 minutes. And what happens is it unfortunately ends up devolving into a riot. Like, people storming in and everything. And I think three people die, at least. Three people that we see.
Three people we see definitely die.
I don't know if more died. I wouldn't be surprised. But it's really not good. We get some setup for that. Like, we meet all these characters before they die. And, it's just this great moment. Because I thought it really captured how bad some of those Black Friday sales used to get.
Mm-hmm.
When they were a lot bigger. While also showcasing just, like, how nasty modern people are.
Yeah. No, I think the thing that the cold open establishes for me and why I enjoy it so much and think it's so good is it is, like you said, its own self-contained story that has sort of an arc complete within itself, but also it contains all of our main characters and even side characters that are relevant for the rest of the film. And when you look at it combined with the full film, it is so much set up in such a short period of time, while also being extremely funny and also just like gross and gory in the best way possible. It's just, there's so much in the first, I would say, 10 minutes of this movie.
It's a long cold open. It's really long.
And that's the other thing is, like, it really tricks you. Like, you just think you're going to get to do the movie now. Like, you're just watching the film. There's no, like, this is what the movie is. And then the cold open ends, it goes 1 year later.
Yeah. And, I think that's an interesting way to do it. And like
I
Bob
think it's
said,
good.
The cold open does tie into the rest of the movie. So kind of the big underlying premise here is that the killer is killing people that were at this riot,
mm-hmm.
which we know because one of the main characters, his name's Evan. He's a dick.
Oh, Evan fucking
sucks. Evan is just the worst. And he like recorded a video of this riot with people dying, I think, in the video. Edited it, which was horrible, and then posted it on the internet. So, like,
millions of people have seen it.
Assumably, the killer's seen it and is picking people off who are, like, part of the riot. And I think the assumption given really early on in the film is that it's kind of revenge, because we learn almost immediately that nothing came of this whole, like, riot incident. Like, no one was sued or anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, classic, like, revenge story. And, you know, I think those are always the strongest slasher motivations.
For sure.
Because, like, that's just such a easily identifiable kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think when you use revenge as a motivator in a, like, whodunit-style slasher, I think it works better than other motivators because it's very obvious, like, what people could possibly be mad about. You know what I mean? Like, anger is a very easy emotion to point and go, I'm mad about this thing. So then it's, like, easy to define, like, oh, this character could be the killer because they could be mad about X thing that happened at the thing. So it's just, I think, a very well-utilized motivator in a film like this.
Yeah, and I think it really works out for the whodunit angle because one of the things I think this film does fairly well is it sets up so many red herrings.
Oh, so many people could be the killer.
I think it goes out of its way to establish basically anyone who was probably at that riot or maybe
basically
even like
anyone that was on screen and had lines.
Not in that riot as potential killers, which is always cool to see. Most films obviously have red herrings in them. It's a very common trope, but they don't always like firmly establish them as believable red herrings.
Yeah.
And I think this one did do a good job of it overall.
No, I like it. I think it's really good. Because it does it in the same way that something like, I know you did Last Summer, did it, or Urban Legend, where it's like, this is very much in the vein of those films, and it's like a teen slasher whodunit mystery movie. So it like implicates the whole group of friends, of course, because, you know, they're all there. But also it could be like the cops have implications. It could be, what is his name? McCarthy is his name?
Yeah.
It could be him. It could be her dad, or the main girl's dad.
Yeah, I mean, it literally could be anyone.
They just do a really good job, but every line has a purpose for that sort of setup stuff. Like, there are tons of throwaway lines that get brought back up later and then help reinforce implications set up earlier in the film that this person could be the killer. It's just really good about tying into itself and making everything feel very intentional, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to point out the writing on this movie is pretty
good.
Like you said, there's a bunch of reference lines, which I think are really funny. There's like a really good joke that like the killer does a throwaway line right at the beginning before like you even are suspicious of that person, and it comes up later on in the film.
And it's
really funny. But also like it's good writing in that they have a lot of characters take very obviously like, I don't know, suspect stuff. Like it's very casually menacing.
Yeah.
And it's a nothing line.
It's nothing. But the thing is that it's nothing in the context of the world, right?
Yeah.
But it's something to us because we're viewing it from the perspective of the film, which I think is the perfect way to make a movie.
I think
it's
always fun to see.
Sense. There's also just like, not only the lines that like make the movie reinforce the meta aspects of it being like a whodunit, but there's also just funny ones. Like, I think one of my favorite lines in the entire movie is after Evan posts the video, he's like, it's going to break the internet. And then when Evan's, like, facing down the killer later, the killer's like, you're going to break the internet. Like, it's a very similar, like, it feels almost Freddy levels of, like, bantery.
Self-referential.
And I like that because I think it makes the world feel real and makes it scary.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point that a lot of it's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to note that this is a funny film, but it's not, like,
ha-ha funny.
Ha-ha funny. I mean, I was laughing, but that's just me. Okay.
Some of the ha-ha funny bits are in there. Like, the whole scuba thing, like, learning where scuba comes from is ha-ha funny.
Yeah, one of the characters named Scuba. We'll get into that. But, no, it's one of those films where it's able to have a lot of comedic elements in it, but they don't take away from the horror.
Not at all.
You know, sometimes you have movies that are horror comedies, and they tend to be very funny and very goofy. Tucker and Dale versus Evil is a great example of that.
We keep talking about that movie.
But this one has very funny elements and very funny writing, but still manages to be very serious. And I think that's really impressive for a holiday movie. Because when most holiday movies lean into the gimmick, it becomes
not good.
Goofy.
Yeah.
And that goofiness takes away from how serious the situation is. And I think this film was able to avoid that pitfall. And it's very impressive, honestly.
I mean, I would say it does it almost perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a moment where, like, I was, like, upset about how gimmicky it felt.
Yeah, I think the only issue with the gimmicks is it was very, like, standard slasher fare in the way that it felt cheesy. But at the same time, I'm one of those people who, like, know who's directing this film.
And yeah, exactly.
And know where it came from. I mean, it came from Grindhouse, and I'm like, this is on purpose. Like, 100% on purpose for how, like, formulaic it feels.
And I think that makes this film while I do think you were right when you said this at the beginning, but this is a very much a good movie for a general audience. Like, this is a good slasher just to show people.
Oh, yeah. Especially for an Eli Roth film. I don't think it's too horrible.
Okay. You say that. You're wrong, first of all, about that. But
No, it's still an Eli Roth film. I don't think it's too horrible for him, like on Eli Roth's spectrum.
I guess that's more fair.
We can talk about the gore now if you want.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say that I think you're right. For an Eli Roth film, I don't know how. I mean, I've only seen one other Eli Roth film, which sucks because I don't have a good way to compare them. For his film, you're right. It probably isn't that bad.
No, it's much less intense than Cabin Fever.
Don't think so.
Well, you have to remember, I think Cabin Fever had a lower budget, but it definitely leaned into how like graphic it was a lot more.
That's what I was gonna say. Is if you're coming into this wanting something like I Know What You Did Last Summer or Urban Legend as a sort of idea, it's way more intense than that.
It is.
Way more gross, way more blood, guts, and gore.
I mean, it's rated R, and those were barely R. I think they were R, but it's like R. Teen R, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, the kills are cool, but they are gnarly. But I think that's what makes this film better than those films, is that I think it's the perfect mashup of the two ideas.
Yeah, I mean, it has a lot of creative kills. I thought all of them were really cool.
Oh, the one in,
I did like
the
them.
One in the end, near the end, with like the, let me say, grandpa. That one fucking got me good.
Oh, it was unfortunate.
Oh, it's so unfortunate.
But I was laughing so hard. But yeah, I thought all the kills were really good. I will bring it up again that I think my main complaint, I talked about going into this, and I think, again, on my review, whenever I watched it last year, is that I didn't think there was enough there with the kills.
That's crazy, man.
And, you know, part of that is the first time I watched the movie, I was going, okay, it's an Eli Roth film. It's going to be, like, super intense, and it wasn't super intense for me. Like, a lot of the kills were very mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are very mean-spirited.
Oh, they're so mean.
But they weren't, like, drawn out and graphic in the way I was expecting. For the most part, there's one that is, but they weren't like super like mean in the sense that they were stretched out.
Mm-hmm. Which, less torture-y, I guess.
Yeah, which in some ways was disappointing when that's what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But my other issue with the kills, and I think you'll be able to at least somewhat agree with me here, is they all looked really good. It looked like they were primarily done with practical effects.
Mostly, yeah.
But the issue I found, and this might just be me, I don't know if you picked up on it, but it looks like a lot of them were then touched up with CGI for, yep, like, blood spray and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whoever did that went just a little too far on the CGI, like, touch-ups. Because
you can see it.
It sometimes just covered up all the practical effects and just made what would have, I think, been an amazing kill that I would have been blown away with just kind of disappointing.
They feel flat, some of them.
The one I'm going to point out is the first kill after the cold open.
I agree with you on that one. Because that one is, it still hit, but I can tell it would have hit so much harder if it hadn't been touched up with CGI.
Yeah, it's probably the most egregious of the kills because, like,
it's insane.
All of them had it. Well, not all of them, but a good amount had that touch up that was a little bit frustrating for me as someone who really likes practical effects. But that one in particular was basically completely covered up by CGI blood spray.
Yeah.
And it ruins what was honestly probably one of the most effective kills in the movie.
It might be the best kill in the film.
It's definitely the one I remembered long term. And I think that sucks.
It does suck.
Because, you know, it's Eli Roth. I want to see some good practical gore.
Yeah. And you get a lot of that otherwise.
I'm not going to blame that on him. I know that's definitely a big studio thing nowadays, mm-hmm, where they really want to touch up stuff with CGI blood. Especially because some people don't like practical effects. I don't know why that is.
I've never understood it. I don't think I ever will. Because they look so cool.
If they're good, especially.
If they're good, especially, yeah.
With that being said, I don't think the CGI touch-ups were, like, atrocious.
They didn't ruin the film. But it is a problem.
Everything still looked good. I'm just...
We're nitpicking.
Nitpicky about that. The other issue I have with the film is the characters. All the characters in this movie kind of suck.
A majority are shitty people.
Well, let me rephrase that. All the main characters in this movie kind of suck.
True.
All the, like, the secondary characters, I like them.
They're cool. They're good.
But especially our main group of friends are, like, the least likable people
ever. They're awful.
And, you know, that's always shitty to see in a film. Yes, it does make slashers, I think, a little bit more palatable, mm-hmm, for a general audience because it's fun to watch someone you don't like
get murdered.
Get murdered in, like, horrific ways. I think that's some of the draw of the slasher genre. But when the main characters that you're following and you're supposed to want to live, mm-hmm, suck,
It's no fun.
It can be really hard sometimes, especially when like some of the side killer characters are way more likable for no reason.
Yeah.
My best example is there's Jacob and what's the older dude's name?
McCarthy?
McCarthy.
McCarthy's great. I love McCarthy.
And they're just these two throwaway characters. And one of them set up to be like, I don't know.
Kind of awful.
The sleazeball.
Yeah.
But they're both great.
Honestly, McCarthy saves the day.
Yeah. And that's always an issue because you're like, I want to see more of these other characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that hits the hardest with, what's her name?
Which
Gabby?
One?
The main character.
No, that's Jessica.
Abigail?
Nope.
What
Jessica's the main character.
Jessica?
Yep. And then Gabby's her friend.
That's fair.
The one that's dating Evan.
All right.
And then there's Scuba and Julia.
I thought Jessica was like very flat as
a
character.
I was about to say, I don't actually think that Jessica is a bad person.
No.
Or poorly written. I think that the performance is flat.
Yeah. And that was kind of the thing with a bunch of those characters where it was like, the ones that were assholes stood out because they were really big assholes. Evan's the biggest example
he
of this.
Is
he
just
sucks.
A shitbag, yeah.
I don't know why any of those people hang out with him.
No, because all he does is mess with them and be an asshole.
Completely unlikable. But then most everyone else is flat, so yeah. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we even learn Yulia's name until like 3/4 of the movie, really.
Yeah.
That sucks, and it especially hits hard with the female lead, who's supposed to be, like, the main character. She's on screen the most.
But it's supposed to be, like, an emotional thing, and it's, like, it delivers enough to make all of the rest of it work.
Yeah, the movie's fine. It works with that.
But I do agree. I wish that there was more development on any of those characters. Like, we learn interesting stuff sometimes, and, like, it just feels like I don't know these people.
Yeah.
Like I should.
I mean, good classic example of Jessica, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm so bad with names. Jessica is having this, you know, classic main character kind of emotional through line. So in this case, it's her mom's dead. So she has this charm bracelet and she's still working through all that because her dad got remarried and she doesn't like the new wife. But I don't care at all.
No, I don't care.
Don't care at all.
But also, it's not relevant. And really. Other than giving us character development that I don't care about.
I think it is one of those things where, like, if the main characters, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily the performance or, like, how she's written in the story was better. I think I would have cared more.
Yeah.
But because it falls flat, I don't care. And that does take up a good amount of scenes.
Yeah.
With that being said, there was one of the main characters I loved. Like, actually really, really liked. Not just in comparison, but I thought they were really well written. That was Scuba.
Scuba's good.
Scuba was both very funny.
Like, oh, he's so
his
funny.
His lines were very funny. I think he had some of the best like jokes from a single character in the movie. But I thought out of like the main cast of teens, he was the best performed.
Yeah, agreed.
He just had a lot of heart, and it was really fun to see him play that role. To the point where it actually stands out like head and shoulders above the rest.
No, agreed.
In a way where it was like...
I think it's because he's the only likable one of the group, really. Like, not that I think Yulia or Gabby are unlikable, but you don't get anything from them to like or dislike them. And Jessica is the same way. There's nothing there where I want to go, I want to like you, or I don't want to like you. And Evan just sucks. So then it's like, okay, well, I'm left with all these characters that I don't have an opinion on because I'm not given any information, really. And a guy I hate and a guy that I like.
And then here's this one guy who I knew who he was immediately, and he's fun, and I like his character.
Yeah.
And that was kind of weird.
It is weird because the rest of the movie is very tight otherwise.
Yeah, all the other characters
are great.
Are fairly good.
Oh, her dad is so funny. Jessica's dad is like such a goober.
Ah, he's such a goober.
He looks so, just a giant mustache.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's like a little bit of a weird thing. I'm not sure if it was on purpose to make the characters not super likable.
I don't know.
But it definitely was probably like my biggest weak spot with this movie.
No, I agree. That is my biggest problem with the film. But the fact that that's my biggest problem and I'm still saying I like the movie, you know, pretty good.
Yeah. What else is in this movie that's really interesting? I think they used the location really well.
I was about to say, they do a lot of really good location stuff in this movie.
You know, it's Plymouth, so they really play up the Thanksgiving stuff. But they really lean into changing sets and really making it work with the movie.
Yeah.
There's like a whole parade sequence.
The parade sequence is genuinely insane, by the way.
Yes. I want you to know that's in the original Grindhouse trailer. So
really?
That's why some of the decisions were made that way.
That's awesome.
Not all of it, but some references. But yeah, I thought the parade was super cool. All the decorations that are up around town. Heck, even the John Carver like costume is like I don't know, kind of like the free costume that year for Thanksgiving. So I think it all ties in really, really well.
I mean, it does a great job of establishing that, yes, this killer is affecting, like, this small group of friends and, like, of course, the police. But once you start getting to the greater implications of what's happening, you see a lot of really, really cool stuff with the town. It really establishes what one, like, mass murderer could do to an entire community of people.
Oh, freaks them out.
Oh, it's awesome, though. It's so, that's what I think makes the parade scene so good.
But what I think is super cool about this is, you know, most, like, holiday slashers like this tend to have a town that's tied into the holiday in a way that's supposed to be referential. I think the best example of that would be My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
That has, what's it called, like,
isn't the
Valentine's
town
Bluff or something like that?
Yeah, isn't it called, like, isn't, I thought the town was just called Valentine or something like that. Or Valentine's. Like that. It's insane.
And, you know, they have all the decorations around, but it doesn't feel as big as it did in Plymouth, which felt like an actual town that built itself around this one thing.
Yeah. It feels way more ingrained into the history and the actual roots of the culture rather than in My Bloody Valentine, where it feels like we've tacked this on for movie.
Yeah, and I just thought that was such a great little choice they made there.
I think it's also because, like, Plymouth, Massachusetts is a real place.
Yeah, it's a real place. I imagine it
with real history
probably really looks like that during Thanksgiving.
Exactly. That's why I think it works, is because it feels like it should work.
And our killer kind of looks like a historical figure.
Yeah, it works.
Outside of that, other cool little things. I thought all the transitions were really good.
You kept talking about that during
the
movie.
They had a couple really good transition jokes, which I love those because they're little things that are especially good, I think, on second or third watches because you have more attention to use on stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorites is like a musical cue one they do where it's there's some song in the background and they're talking about something with an axe.
Yeah.
And like the next scene is the killer like what?
No, it's Evan and like a
throwing an axe into a wood block. I don't know. Cool stuff to see, good directing and editing there. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty impressive. And they do a lot of stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Again, tight writing.
This is something we haven't talked about, and I hadn't really thought about it very much. A big plot point of this movie is that, you know, John Carver is mad about the thing at the Rite Mart, and so he's, like, taunting this group of teenagers. And how do you do that in the modern era? Social media. He, like, is using social media to basically, like, lure and bait them and, like, get them to do the stuff that he wants.
And also the whole town.
The whole town, yeah, because he's creating mass hysteria, essentially. Like, he's doing a lot of work like that. I think that's super cool, and I think it's a benefit of watching a more modern film. And we've not watched a film that does that yet, and I think that it was pretty well done.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's one of those things where I've seen more modern movies, because I watch movies outside of this podcast. I'm like, Bob,
all right,
no offense, Bob.
No, full offense.
But you've
taken.
Seen like 5 movies outside of the podcast.
I thought you were about to say, you've seen 5 movies, and I went, Ben, you're fucking crazy.
No, outside of the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, point being that, like, I've seen other horror movies that try to deal with social media, and a lot of them deal with it poorly, and it feels really cringy and bad. And, well, at times, this one did feel kind of, like, cringy and goofy, because, again, like, social media stuff. It felt a lot more real and effective than I expected it to.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was really impressive. Cause
it was cool.
It's hard to work around social media in a horror movie and not make it feel
like cheating.
Like, just too goofy or weird.
Yeah. I mean, my big thing is, like, in a lot of movies, it can be used as, like, basically an out for the character to, like, get help or escape or do something crazy like that. This movie didn't do that, and I thought that was good.
Yeah, there was a lot of thought put into it, too. Like,
yeah.
You could tell they when they wrote this piece, they were going, all right, we're going to go through all the things that would normally be plot holes and contrivances and, like,
we're going to fix it.
Explain them away. Yeah. Like, the killer is taking photos, posting them to social media, and then turning his phone off, which is said explicitly so they can't track where he is. And I thought that was, again, making this whole social media thing feel more believable than it otherwise would.
I think my favorite social media thing is that it's not only, like, worked into the fabric of the movie through plot, but also in dialogue. Like, people talk about it quite a bit, and it comes up. And I think all of that dialogue helps make it feel less unrealistic and goofy. I think my favorite line is when they first get notification from like the John Carver account.
Is it from Scuba?
It's Scuba. Scuba's like, I mean, if he wants to fight me, I'll DM him right now. Like, come get me. Like, that shit is so funny because it feels so like actual high schooler type shit to do if someone random DM'd you with a threat.
Oh, yeah. Once again, Scuba feels like a real character.
He feels like a real dude, and that's awesome. Like, I don't know. I really like this movie. I think it's all probably like the perfect Thanksgiving killer movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you almost say Thanksgiving movie?
Yes.
I know. It's so tempting,
it's
right?
It's so tempting.
Otherwise, do you have anything else to say?
No, I think I'm okay, man.
All right. Yeah, it's kind of one of those films where I'm like, I liked a lot of the stuff in this, and it's overall just
good.
Good. With that being said, recommendations, I guess?
I mean, if you like Thanksgiving as a holiday and you want to watch a Thanksgiving-themed horror movie, like I said earlier, by far the best one. I would say watch Blood Rage 2 because it's bad, but it's fun.
Best one so far.
Yeah, this one. If you like Eli Roth, it's a good Eli Roth movie. I think it's probably a little different than other stuff he's directed. Once again, I've only seen Cabin Fever, so that's my comparison, but I liked it. I thought it was very Eli Roth in style, and I think that's what makes it
good. Oh, yeah, in style.
If you like whodunit slasher movies from like the early to late 90s with like a teen sort of focus, I think it's a good version of that, but it's upscaled with good practical effects and gore and stuff like that. So if that's also one of your interests, check it out.
All right. You know, first recommendation for me, if you're looking for a holiday slasher film, I think this is a really well done one. It's kind of hard to find like non-shitty holiday horror movies.
It is hard.
Because there's just so many of them and most of them are cash grabs. So to find one that's really great is nice. So if you're looking for something to watch this season, again, I think it's a great option because it's readily available right now, which is cool to see. I think it's also good if you're looking for a pretty modern slasher movie. Like Bob said, it's very similar in some aspects to early 2000s like whodunit slashers, which makes sense when we consider the fact that the trailer for this came out in 2007 mm-hmm. with Grindhouse. But at the same time, it's also very similar to like late era slasher films like Jason X or something, where the kills are just super over the top.
Oh, they're
and fun.
Egregious.
And then I think my last thing is, again, if you're a fan of like any of the people in this movie or associated with the project, but especially Eli Roth, this is very much an Eli Roth film, even if it isn't as intense as some of his other features, like obviously Green Inferno or Hostel, which I think makes this movie fairly approachable. Don't get me wrong, it's a pretty gross movie and there's some intense sequences in it, but this is definitely much more approachable for a general audience as not only a slasher movie, but an Eli Roth film. And I think that makes it really cool. So, yeah. Rate it? You gotta do it.
Do what?
It.
No.
Okay.
You always are like acting like I'm willy-nilly or something and just give things
sometimes
vibes.
You are. At least at the beginning. You've gotten more strict about it.
Yeah. Okay, so I do like this movie. I will admit. Okay? But I mean, we highlighted a couple problems we have with it. You know, I don't think the characters all are as well executed as I would like. And I think giving them some more like personality could really bring the film up a little bit. But the practical effects are good. I don't think the performances are bad. They're just not as good as they could be. You know what I mean? The writing is really good. The sets look good. I think it's the best like ham-fisted Thanksgiving movie we could think of. You know what I mean? Like it takes the idea of a Thanksgiving horror movie and turns it up to 100, but not too far.
Yeah.
Because it could get egregious, like something like Thanksgiving. And so I'm kind of at a hard spot where it's like, there's only one thing I really have a problem with. So I think I'll give it a 4.5 because I really like it. I think it's really good.
All right. Well, I'm also going to give it a 4.5. And, you know, it's one of those things where this movie had a concept and I think it really goes for it. Like even a lot of the general issues with the film, like how cheesy it is and how like just generic slasher it is, to me feel like they were purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially for how, like, I think accessible this film is, I think it just does a really good job doing something that is normally fairly difficult to do well, which is a holiday theme killer movie, especially like a less well-known holiday like Thanksgiving. I say less well-known, but like less accessible to horror, because like, for instance, Christmas is super accessible.
Oh, there are so many.
Santa, you know? So I think they just did a really, really good job with what they have. But more importantly, I think for having a lot of constraints put on them, they did amazingly. Because you have to remember, they basically already released a trailer for this movie years and years ago, and they did use that as a basis for this film.
Yeah.
I'll put on the trailer for Bob after this just so he can see, but like there's scenes in the trailer that they recreated the best they could, like years later.
That's awesome.
And I think that's really impressive. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I want to give this film a 5 because mm-hmm. a lot of the bad parts feel intentional.
Yeah.
But the things that are really keeping me from doing that are acting, because especially for the main cast, it was really dragging down the plot of the film. And then just the gore, which I honestly thought was really good, but the CGI effects were disappointing, and I felt like they really got in the way of some of the more graphic kills. So I'm going to take like half a point away for those two things.
I mean, that's fair. That's why I did it.
All right. I guess we're going to go to the outtakes now.
Yeah.
Don't know what we'll have.
I don't know. Something, maybe.
A lot of them were us laughing, so we'll see what...
We'll see what actually makes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you guys in a minute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the outtake section for this episode of Beware the Board. I hope you're enjoying our review of Thanksgiving so far. I really like this film. I think it's really, really fun, but also very, very gross. But without further ado, let's get into the outtakes. This first clip is our reaction to John Carver's first kill of the film.
She's being jawned.
Okay.
He's carved her a little bit. Oh, I hate scenes like this in movies.
Hey, at least it's not Jason X with the...
That's at least cool. Oh! Oh, no! Oh, he missed, but her skin is on the thing!
She left fingerprints all over the crime scene.
This next clip is our reaction to an absolutely brutal scene.
Oh! That's brutal. The dude, whoever John Murderer is... Oh my god! Ah! Oh my god! So like I was saying, John Murderer is a fucking... Has to be... Just what? Seeing his last name on the back of his jersey is funny. John Murderer has to be like a super soldier with what he just did to that man.
You know, it's the classic slasher villains are...
This next clip is our reaction to one of the most horrific scenes in the entire film.
Oh, he threw it!
That is very impressive. Because those aren't like straight. They curve.
No! Ah! No, this is what I didn't want to see!
I like how long it took you to figure out, too.
No! 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 Stop!
I bet you that cook a turkey real fast. Oh, look, it's on. You have to watch it, Bob. That's the deal.
No, I don't. No, Ben, I fucking don't. I don't. I can't. Ugh.
Well, he opened the door!
Oh!
What's that?
It's a thermometer.
Well, that is important. You don't want it to be underdone.
Oh.
Look, this would be really painful, but I think it would kill you fairly quickly. It would suck, though. Like, a lot.
That must smell awful. All that burning hair.
Oh, absolutely atrocious.
Oh, my God.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the outtakes.
Do we have any announcements, Ben?
Well, we're done with holiday movies for this month, which means we only got next month's holiday movies left for the year. That's going to be Christmas and New Year's.
Uh-huh.
So look out for those. They won't happen till the very end of the month, so it's going to be a couple weeks from now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're wrapping up the board soon. I think as of this coming out, we have our episode on Friday, which I think is 8. And then...
I don't know, dog.
No. The episode on Friday should be 9.
Which is the last movie of this season.
And then
the wrap-up will be the week after.
And then we're basically done. I think that's how it's going to work out. So check those out, especially because we're going to have a new season coming up.
I'm excited for the new one.
I'm excited for the categories. I told Bob way back at the beginning that I think it's going to be a good category for me. So if he chose a good category, we could have a very good board.
We'll see.
For season 12.
We will see.
Plus, it's always exciting to start with something new. As always, there's no surprise for me with this.
No.
This system.
No.
Which kind of sucks.
Do we want to... Look, I'm going to pitch this right now. If you want to do a season where I pick the movies...
No. I'm concerned.
What do you mean, no?
I like having the control in some ways, but also it doesn't work because I have to do all the research and everything.
Yeah. Well, I'll do all the research and everything. And you can edit the podcast.
It has to be movies you've seen, so it's going to be like all like shitty trauma films.
No, they don't have to be movies I've seen. We watch movies you haven't seen on the podcast all the time.
I know.
Look, Ben, I'm just putting it out there.
Fair enough. In either case, you know, usual spiel then. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you're checking us out on any of those podcast-specific sites, please give us a quick review or a rating. That really helps us out with getting recommended to other people there. If you really want to help us out with getting new viewers, you can recommend us to a friend. We'd be really thankful for that this Thanksgiving because it's kind of cool.
It's hard out on these streets.
Yeah, it's hard out on these streets. What's a dancing turkey got to do? Lose his head?
Shut the fuck up, you piece of shit. God damn you.
With that being said, if you're not checking us out on those two sites or anything else like that, you could check us out on YouTube. It's not the best for audio-only content, but it really does help us out if you're going to see us there. We can see your subscriptions and likes, and that's really cool because we can see how much you're engaging with the content and listening much more easily than our RSS feed, which I always bring up because it's confusing.
It is confusing.
With that being said, YouTube does have a couple tools that might make it worth it for you guys to check out. There's a bell button, which lets you get notified whenever we post something new. So in case you're trying to keep up with extra content like this episode, that's a good way to keep aware. Because we do post about it and tell you about it in advance if we remember. But we're not always great about that. Otherwise, YouTube also has a search button, which lets you search key terms in all our videos. So if you're trying to look at, like, hey, what movies have they covered on the podcast? Go into the search feature on our page and search a movie name. Probably the easiest way to figure that out. With that being said, the biggest thing about YouTube is it's one of the two major places to communicate with us at. You can do that in the comment section of a specific episode if you want to talk to us about something in that episode. Or you can go over to Twitter, at BoyTheBoard, and go hit up Bob. Maybe tell him what you're thankful about. Tell him your perfect turkey recipe.
Oh, no.
And how you really prefer thigh meat.
Oh, that was gross, Ben. That was gross, and I didn't like it. Like Ben said, check us out on Twitter, at BewareTheBoard. It's where we post updates about the show, information about the show. Basically, if there's anything you know about the show, it goes on our Twitter. On Mondays, I post a spoiler post for that week's worth of episodes, which is a Hooten movie cover you can reveal, so you can watch the film before we do. So in these episodes, you don't get any spoilers. We're being vague about stuff. You know what we're talking about. Then on Fridays or whatever the day episode goes live, I always post a link to the episode whenever it goes up. So if you ever miss an upload or want to know when something went up, there's always a link on our Twitter. Last thing, Ben, we make show up from content for the show over on @BewareTheBoard on TikTok and on YouTube Shorts. So if you want to support the show and like show up from content, check us out over there.
I guess I'll continue the saga.
It might be out by the time this comes out.
No, I'm going to put this out here. As of recording this, because we recorded this right after episode 108. Bob hasn't posted those memes from Killer Condom
but
yet.
They're probably out by the time this is coming out.
But I'm going to say I believe in Bob this time, and hopefully he's done it by Thanksgiving.
It'll be your Thanksgiving present.
Hopefully.
Your Thanksgiving gift, if you will.
I'll let you guys know.
Okay.
I got my fingers crossed, but it's been like a while.
It's been far too long.
Yeah, I think that's all we got.
Yeah, I think that's it, man.
So we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. See you guys next time.